Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and reads as follows. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. In the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, we find many verses that talk about the last day, describing it as a day of woe and dreadful judgment for the unbelievers, and describing it as a day of joyous triumph and salvation for the believers. So that's something we can look forward to. But we just have to wait for it. Patiently, which can be hard for us because by nature, we humans are quite impatient. We hate being forced to wait for things that we want. And if we do need to wait, we want to know how long we have to wait in order to make the wait a little more bearable. Knowing this about ourselves, it is not surprising that people try to figure out when the last day will be. But all efforts are in vain. The Bible makes it very clear that nobody will know in advance when the last day will come. So God has not revealed when the last day will come. However, he has told us how he wants us to wait for the last day. And as we notice in our text for today, he wants us to wait knowing that the last day will come at an unexpected time. Secondly, he wants us to wait as true Christians. And thirdly, he wants us to wait being confident of our salvation. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Now, the Christians in Thessalonica had already been instructed by the Apostle Paul concerning the coming of Christ on the last day. And so he begins our text by saying, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Paul could not give them any more information than he had already given them. He could not tell them exactly when Christ would return. But they did know that Christ would come at an unexpected time. And Paul takes this opportunity to review these important points with them, as he does also for us. Paul writes in our text, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Like a thief, who must come at a time when no one suspects, in order for him to be successful in his crime, so the Lord will come in his glory at a time when no one expects him to come. Jesus himself compared his second coming to the coming of a thief when he told his disciples, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. anyone who thinks that he has figured out when the Lord Jesus will return, is definitely wrong, because the Bible makes it clear that no one will know. Now, expanding on this point, that Jesus will come at an unexpected time, St. Paul writes in our text that Christ will come at a time when the unbelievers are feeling very good, at a time when they think things are great, no need to fear any coming judgment. But their feelings of safety are just an illusion created by the devil and their own sinful flesh. Though they do not realize it, the fact is they are in great danger of falling under God's judgment. Our text says, "For when they," the unbelievers, "shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The sudden helplessness that the unbelievers will find themselves in on the last day is compared to how labor can hit at an unexpected time, rendering the pregnant woman powerless by the unexpected shock and pains of childbirth. Now, we Christians who know these things should be doing what we can to warn the unbelievers about how they need to repent, turning away from their sins, trusting in Christ Jesus for their forgiveness before the Lord returns, and it's too late to repent. But sadly, when we try to warn the unbelievers, we usually meet with an attitude like, "It doesn't matter. Jesus isn't going to return anytime soon, if at all." And that's the exact attitude described in our text. When the impenitent unbelievers are encouraging themselves to continue in their wicked ways, saying, "Peace and safety, everything's fine, everything's great," then the Lord's judgment of eternal destruction will come upon them, suddenly and inescapably. Much like the Apostle Paul does in our text, the Apostle Peter speaks of such people who mock the second coming of Christ. This is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, where he says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.' But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up." Now, in response to such warnings of Holy Scripture, the unbelievers often say, "Don't worry about that. I don't believe in God, so I don't believe in a final judgment." And such unbelievers take foolish comfort, a false sense of peace and security, by simply denying what the Bible says is true. And as our text says, "When they shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Whether they believe in the coming judgment or not is beside the point. God here assures them that they shall not escape it. In contrast to the unbelievers who are wallowing around in spiritual darkness, completely ignorant, refusing to be enlightened by the Scriptures, we Christians have been brought into the marvelous light of saving faith in Christ Jesus. We've been enlightened by the Holy Ghost through the gospel. God's made us different. He's woken us up to the knowledge of his word, the understanding of the gospel, the understanding of the coming judgment. And so Paul writes to the Christians in Thessalonica in our text, saying, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." You know, we Christians don't know when the Lord will return, so in that respect, it'll be like a thief for us. But our text says it won't be like a thief for us in this respect. We're prepared. We're ready. The thing that makes us prepared and ready is saving faith in Christ. Because by faith in Him, we have the forgiveness of all our sins. So we're ready to stand before His judgment throne, knowing that according to His promise, we will be declared free from sin for Christ's sake. Yes, by faith in Jesus, you and I are indeed ready for His return. Now, the fact that we do stand ready in the saving Christian faith is nothing that we can take any credit for or boast of. Because the fact that we are believers, that's the work of the Holy Ghost, without any merit or worthiness or cooperation on our part. Now, He rescued us from our spiritual darkness. He's the one that made us, as our text describes, the children of light and the children of the day. And so our text continues by saying, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So the spiritual sleep mentioned here would be unbelief. It's contrasted with the Christians who are awake by faith. That's what makes us ready, watchful, and alert for Christ's second coming. By the grace of God, we Christians have been made spiritually awake, but our sinful flesh and the devil still tempts us to pull us away from the faith, tries to tempt us to become spiritually drowsy, to make us fall asleep in unbelief, and thus to make us unready for His return. So we all need to be on guard against falling into that deadly sleep of unbelief. And it is very easy because of our flesh to think that we can safely give in to sin, indulge in it willfully and intentionally. And the devil tells us it's fine to sin, just repent afterwards and everything will be okay. God will always forgive you, it doesn't matter. In that way, the devil seeks to make our spiritual eyes drowsy until we fall asleep in unbelief. Indeed, a person who continues in sin willfully is not a Christian, no matter how much he might claim to be one. No, he's fallen prey to the lie of the devil that he can continue in sin and unbelief willfully, intentionally, and think that everything will be fine. He just needs to remember to say, I'm sorry to God before he dies. Such a person is spiritually asleep, not ready for Christ's return. Our text for today says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, Christians, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So, continuing the contrast between day and night, St. Paul mentions that associated with the night is sleep and drunkenness. Sleep, again, referring to unbelief. Drunkenness, referring to all the sins of the flesh. So it should not surprise us that the unbelievers who live in spiritual darkness are living in their sins, such as drunkenness. But we who are children of the light, children of the day, are to be the exact opposite. We're not to be spiritually asleep. We're to be spiritually alert and awake. We're not to be living in sins of the flesh like drunkenness. We're not to be intoxicated with the sinful pleasures of this world. We're told to be sober, clear thinking, so that we can resist the temptations of the devil, the world, and our flesh, so that we can be successful in our spiritual battles. Now, to protect us in this important spiritual fight, the Apostle Paul tells us to put on the spiritual armor of faith, love, and the sure hope of salvation. And these are compared in our text to the armor that protects a soldier's head and chest. Obviously, important areas to protect. The Christian's faith, love, and hope are created and sustained by the gospel, which assures him of God's love and the promise of eternal salvation in heaven. So then, to put on those pieces of spiritual armor, we need to be built up, reinforced in the promises of the gospel given us in Holy Scripture. If we remain firm in the faith with that spiritual armor on, we are assured of God's blessing, and we will certainly prevail against all of our spiritual enemies. And as we wait for Christ's second coming on the last day, with that spiritual armor on, we can and should be most confident of our salvation. And that's not self-confidence, but it's confidence in the Lord, trusting in His promises, trusting that we are His dear children for Christ's sake, that our salvation has been planned out by Him before the world was made. Accordingly, we read in our text, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God's not appointed us to eternal destruction in hell, even though that's what we deserve. No, our text says He's appointed us to everlasting salvation in heaven, and that through Christ, as our text says, by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Christ Jesus' work of redemption alone that our sins are all forgiven and that eternal life in heaven is given to us as a free gift of God's grace. And it is by faith in the gospel that we receive those blessings. Our text continues saying, who, namely Christ, died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with Him. In the death of Christ, we have the sure promise of everlasting life with Him in heaven. That holds true whether we're alive when Jesus returns on the last day or whether we've already fallen asleep in the Lord, having a blessed Christian death. On the last day, believers, both the dead and the living, will be gathered together and receive the glorious promise of everlasting life in heaven. Paul makes this point very beautifully at the end of the chapter that comes just before our text. So if your Bible is already open to where our text is found, you look at the last four verses of the previous chapter where we read, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or come before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now that last verse of chapter 4 is very similar to the last verse of our text, chapter 5, verse 11. Where we're told, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So the Christians in Thessalonica were told to comfort and edify one another with these promises of the gospel. To edify literally means to build up or to strengthen. These wonderful promises of God's grace in the gospel build us up, strengthen us in our saving Christian faith. Spiritually fortify us. They are that spiritual armor that our text describes. What the Bible teaches concerning the last day should strike fear into the hearts of the unbelievers. If they die in their current condition, or if the last day comes while they persist in their unbelief, it will be a most dreadful day for them. They will receive the just verdict of guilty and will be condemned to suffer eternity in hell. But for us Christians, the last day is a most joyful one. We can look forward to that. We have the promise of God's love in the gospel. We have the promise that we'll stand holy and blameless before Him through Christ. We'll receive the verdict of innocent, holy, righteous through the precious blood of the Savior. So as we wait for that glorious day with joyous anticipation, we are to wait patiently, knowing that it will come at an unexpected time. We are to wait being confident of our salvation, trusting not in our own merits, but purely in the work of Christ Jesus. So may the Holy Ghost preserve you and me in that saving Christian faith as he has promised until the day of Christ's return. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.